hard to get good help.
You get what you pay for.
Okay, join me in pledge of allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. We will now, is public comment, is there anybody who is here to make, would like to make public comment? Is there anybody out there in radio land that would like to make a public comment? Hearing none, we will proceed on to new business. First item of business is a welfare matter. And unfortunately, we are going to have to go into non-public session for this matter. So we will need the room for this. And somebody will come back out in just a couple of minutes and get you.
I love how optimistic.
Are you guys here for the non-public session for the outcome of that? Or?
Yes, that's what.
But they're not the lien holder.
Right, no, I know.
So they can't do it.
Gotcha. I'm familiar.
Okay, so for folks that are on the phone, unfortunately, we're going to have to hang up the call. You can stay on, and we'll dial back in as soon as we come out of non-public and go back into the public session, but it's hard to estimate at this point how long that's going to take. Yep. Hanging up here. Board of Selectmen. For folks on the phone, we're back in public session. We're just waiting for the folks that were in the lobby to come back into the conference room.
Hey, we are back in public session, and we discussed the discharge of a lien and decided, because of a lack of documentation, to discharge the lien.
Back in 2002.
2003.
In reference to year.
And to seal the minutes.
Yeah, it was lack of documentation from a lien dating back to 2003 from the prior welfare director, the
yep.
administrator.
Okay, Johnny, you're up. Highway mowing proposal.
Well, this is all part of, you want to...
Yes, that's what you were here for.
So, you want to bring them up to date on what we...
Yeah,
I'm a realtor.
Okay.
The buyer.
Yeah, the lien has been discharged. We've signed the paperwork. The paperwork will be going into the proper authorities, and you should be good to go. You're welcome. And welcome to Samberton.
Thank you. Yeah.
He's more official now.
Are you going to be going to school soon?
Up here, he's old enough. So we didn't have an address, and so this went through. So we may look at it, but he's a homeschool for the moment.
This may be a good year for that anyway.
Okay.
It's not the year to
Melanie, we're going to go ahead and continue.
Okay,
so. Okay, Johnny, you're up with the highway mowing proposal.
All right. Yeah, this person called me actually last winter about it. It's the first person I've actually run into that has all the equipment to mow the road signs like we want them done.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's going to do is he'll make a one pass with a sidebar mower, sickle bar, on a tractor kind of thing, which is what we do with our side mower if you ever see us out
yep.
mowing. And with that, you kind of clean up some of the stuff you can get to off of the side of the road, which is not a lot. And then he's going to come back with a boom mower and go out 12, 15 feet, some
I
in
expect
that
you to measure that.
All right, I'll have you with me.
Let me know when.
And so I said, well, if you give me a quote so I can kind of check and see where we are in the ballpark, cost of the town doing it versus what he's going to do. And so his quote, he came back with $15,000. And we got just shy of 100 miles of road. And they called the town of Belmont's going to be using them too. We actually usually share mowers.
Yeah.
But he's going to be going over there first. So we'll probably be on the schedule closer to, if not into, fall for mowing. And that's more or less to keep the brush down. Why we mow the side of the road anyway. It does look good when it gets done, but it's just to keep bushes from turning into trees and limbs from growing out further.
Yeah,
so,
I noticed in your letter here, you're saying we, last year it was $9,175, not to include fuel and employees costs. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you put...
We're probably pretty close to the $15,000.
At least, yeah, because
that
if you figure two employees of 40 hours a week, up to 6 weeks, and that's not man hours. So 6 weeks of man hours is, you know, that's every week's 80 hours.
Yeah.
So.
And this way, it frees up two people to continue doing things like roads and
exactly.
stuff like that.
Exactly. I can use them on other projects like what we're doing now. So.
Yeah. So if you figure even 5 weeks, 40 hours, two guys at their average rate between your two lowest paid employees,
mm-hmm.
that's almost $7,000. So that puts
yeah.
you
so that's
actually
well
makes this cheaper than than the doing it ourselves, and it frees up, you know, 12 man weeks of labor on other things.
Yeah, so we're able to stay on more projects that need to be done that we would be slacking on because we're doing this. So.
What about the ditching?
We're still, that's all us. We still do all that. We'll continue on that. Right now, I'm going to be...
How did that piece of equipment work out there? I believe you...
Oh, with the excavator? It worked great.
To clean the culverts, was it?
I clean some culverts with that, but most of the time we clean the culverts ends out with a backhoe. But the roads that I was on doing the ditch work with it, I did clean the culvert ends out. It's a great piece of machinery for what we need. You know, I wouldn't want anything much bigger if I was to actually buy one for the town. And because it moves around really well. We accomplished a lot with it on Knox Mountain Road, Brook Road, and on Weeks Road, because Weeks Road we got a little bit more ditching to do with the grader. What I did with that was more created a U-shaped ditch, as opposed to a grader creates a V-shaped ditch. So it worked out awesome.
And the culverts are being cleaned too?
Yeah, we clean out the ends, and we usually, when it comes time to clean a culvert, we get together with the fire department. They usually send a tanker, and we spray them out from the other end and dig out the...
Where's this money coming from?
What
line number is this?
For the Boeing?
For the...
Yeah, out of your hired trucking and...
For your hired trucking?
Yeah, hired trucking and equipment.
4312380.
I thought I included that in the email. No.
4312380?
Yep.
Well, I think the roadside mowing is important. And in previous years, prior to your being here, with the material plugging up the, not only the culverts, but the ditches.
I agree.
To be done. Also, it looks a lot better, and I think also keeps things neat and clean. Helps you out.
I'm going to make a motion that we accept the proposal from James Shaw Mowing for roadside mowing 2020 in the amount of $15,000. Funds to come from line number 4312.380, hired trucking.
And to allow the highway director to sign the contract on behalf of the board.
Yeah, and allow the highway director to sign the proposal.
All right. I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second on the floor. Any comment? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have permission, Johnny. Go ahead.
Wow.
So, just two other things while Johnny's here. I was going to bring him up later, you know, in the selecting report, but just in case he wants to comment. Two things. One was there was some concern expressed over some runoff from Hughes Road down into, well, actually, the concern was about some kind of silt or debris in Black Brook when we had the very heavy rain last week.
Yeah.
So, you know, we took a look at logging permits, at building permits, and the road work. And I talked to Johnny about it. We're pretty sure that was bad timing on some of the road work that was getting done. They were finishing up the crowning on Hughes Road. And unfortunately, the rains hit a little sooner than predicted while there was still a lot of loose material. So the combination of very heavy rain and a lot of material on the road resulted in a lot more runoff than normal. You know, there were concerns that there were claims that, you know, the ditches had been dug straight into Black Brook, and that's why it was running off. I talked to Johnny, then I went down there and took a look. I mean, they turn out anywhere from 15 to 20 feet above the brook. So, yeah, and there's no, it's got to go somewhere, but normally it would go through the underbrush, through the debris, get filtered out naturally, so you get mostly water. Yeah. In this case, because it was such a heavy rain and there was so much extra material, it resulted in more going in than normal. But you can see, especially on the, as you're coming down Hughes Road on the right-hand side before you get to the bridge, you can see the normal flow, and it clearly goes, turns and goes parallel to the brook.
Right.
But yeah. And you can see where this one just kind of overwhelmed it and mm-hmm. went straight in.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's just because we had it all loosened up already and hadn't had it pounded back in yet.
I went down and took a look at it also.
Yeah. So So I know, you know, he explained what was going on. I don't think there's no systemic problem with it. It was just a one time, so we'll just keep an eye on it. But other than that, the road looked great. Holy, I drove all the way down from the upper bay end all the way down to the bridge, and
yeah,
it was as good as some of the paved roads. So.
The best condition fences I've worked here.
Yeah, well, I've seen a couple of people comment who live on it that they're open.
Yeah,
so.
I think it's going to be an awesome project, and you know, we've started on Cram Road, and I actually shut the guys down early today because of the possibility of rain. And we started on Perkins Road. We finished Cram Road yesterday. It took 2 days.
Yeah.
And they got a good start on Perkins. And, no, it's going good.
Yeah.
I actually, just to give you a quick, I got prices from two companies and actually got the price of that down to $875 per ton. So instead of the $5,200 that I told you I'd be able to buy, I'm able to buy 5,700 tons of good material.
I've actually seen a couple of comments from citizens where they're saying that the calcium chloride that you're putting down is doing a great job of keeping the dust down.
It's
so they were
holding the road together. Yeah.
It was kudos to you for the road crew and the road crew for getting it down.
Yeah.
So.
And then the other one, I don't even know if you had a chance to look at it today, but I've asked Johnny to kind of start taking a look again at the Maple Circle Dr. True Road issue so we can start putting together some real numbers and have a real idea of what that looks like and then mm-hmm. figure out if it's something that we want to pursue, if it makes sense from the town's perspective, or at least have something we can help the Hillbrunners and their neighbors put together their own Warren article again this year.
I think we owe them that.
Yeah, that was
after what happened last year. I think we owe them
that's what we signed up to, is we would help them. If the town doesn't decide to do it, at least help them put together a
Warren article.
A good Warren article that they could bring forward. So I just, you know, we're starting to head into budget season, I figured it's a good time we can start looking at it and then figure out what that means, because it's not going to be cheap, but may be cheaper in the long run than...
Right. No, it's definitely Drake Road, Maple Circle. Dr. True, sorry, Maple Circle.
Yeah.
They're actually good candidates for
paving. Well, they were two of the five that Underwood had suggested if we were going to look at paving roads.
Right.
You know, here are the five, and that's two of them, so...
And with that whole system down there set up to keep the water out of the lake, that's actually designed... Typically, you would use it on a paved road, not really a gravel road.
Yeah.
So.
Is that going to have any, if it is paved, is it going to have any impact on the Belknap Conservation District and the work that they're doing down there? Because they've been asking for, I sent them a whole bunch of like stuff from on the culvert.
Well, this doesn't really go through Black Brook.
That's at, that's up on Black Brook Road.
That's
where
well south of Black Brook.
Okay.
But if anything, something like this would actually help that in the fact that it would be less so into any of the runoff.
Oh, okay.
Your runoff would be coming off of a paved road instead of off of a dirt road.
Okay.
So you'd have less silt.
Yeah. So anyway, those are the only two highway things that I had.
Doing a good job, Johnny. Thank you.
Thank you again.
I don't think it's your issue, but I was going to bring it up in this conference report, not that. Going behind the town hall, they get squared away.
Mr. Bodwell was given the okay to mow that, and then
All right, and he, I spoke with the other gentleman who inquired, and I told him that we were going to open it up to Samborton residents first.
Well, I think John Olmsted at one of the meetings, if I had mentioned, got a phone call from about mowing that piece, and I think John Olmsted stated that it should go to Samborton residents. I think we decided to do that.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're going to put together a list, and it'll be a, you know, rotate it through so everybody gets a chance. I think so far we've had Bodwell's. I know Swains were interested. I don't know if we've had anybody else.
I've not heard from the Swain family or whatever, but okay.
Bodwell's, yeah, would be a good
one. He was the first resident to come
Swains,
and ask.
Swains had done it for the old Home Day committee just before old Home Day, so that it was nicely mowed for old Home Day. But
okay, because that gentleman called me back and left a long voice message on my home phone. I didn't call him back.
Oh, the person said that. I spoke to him.
I have a question regarding the paving dirt road at Dr. Grove. From an environmental standpoint, does that affect the lake at all if we pave that and then now you have salt, which doesn't go on dirt roads? Is that something that the town has to consider also?
That road being so close to the lake, you mean, and salting it in the winter, that might be an issue. Might
I
be something we'd have to look at.
And I
yeah.
To bring it up.
Well, and we had talked, there's some, I think there's some resources we could reach out to either through Belknap County or through like the UNH to say, you know, help us understand what are the environmental trade-offs if we have paved versus unpaved, silt versus salt, you know, with the catchment system that we have.
Yeah, it's a good question. It does open up different maintenance practices. One that I totally don't recommend is, I know of some towns that just plow the snow on some paved roads and put sand on it.
No salt.
And then, no, just sand.
Yeah, no salt, just sand.
No sand. Okay, yeah. You said and salt. And all that happens is you get a hard pack of snow on top. It becomes kind of like a dirt road until the sun hits
it.
And now you got craters all
As
over.
As Paul just said, it starts building up and building
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Then there's such things as low salt areas where you don't put enough salt on it that's going to melt. You may still get some snowpack throughout the storm. It can take longer to melt off and things like that. But it will definitely bring up a few other maintenance issues that can be discussed and decided upon. Probably should be done before, because actually if it goes to town meeting.
Oh, yeah. No, that all has to be in the same decision, right?
Whether that would, yeah, so that way people know exactly.
Somebody's
going to
ask about it in town meeting before they vote on it. Okay. Anything else for Johnny?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you, guys.
Now, don't you guys think he should bring me out to dinner?
Wasn't that a given?
I thought so.
I think that needs a vote.
Pizza, Johnny. Okay, moving on.
Take care of yourself.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah, thanks. Good seeing you, Mel.
Good to see you, too. And Trish,
stay healthy, you two.
We will.
Okay, next on the agenda is the life safety building. Paul, you want to come up and...
This is as exciting as it gets.
You're welcome to stay. You're welcome to go with.
It gets more exciting sometimes.
If he starts getting bored and wants to go, you're welcome to go at any time. And also, you're welcome to come back. We have these meetings every other Wednesday at 5 o'clock. And you're welcome. It's a public meeting. You're welcome to come in and come into the meeting anytime. You'll probably see these two guys at pretty much every meeting. But.
And our town clerk's office is on Wednesday currently. They're open until 6
6:30?
Well, she went back to that.
Yeah.
She did go back to that. And so you'll go over there and register your car when you...
pay your taxes.
Pay your taxes, and you register to vote and claim residency, stuff like that. And she's just down the hall here.
Wednesday nights, they're open late.
By the way...
We had everyone in this office, so.
By the way, this is Trish Stafford.
Yep.
She is our town administrator.
Hi there. Hi,
this is Paul Dexter. He is our fire chief.
We met.
And this is Steve Hankard.
They had the non-public.
Yeah, we had the non-public time.
Okay, I didn't know if they'd met. I just wanted to make sure. This is Tom Solitello. Jim Dick, and myself are all the elected selectmen for the town. So.
Nice to meet you all. My name is Kendall Fioravante. This is Alden.
Hi, Adam.
My husband's Aldi. He's working for the National Guard up here now.
Bless him. Thank you.
I'll be fixing the broken house for a little while. But,
I have a son whose middle name is Alden.
Oh, really? It's very unusual. We run into a couple people who recognize his name.
Yeah. Good pilgrim name.
Where are you moving from?
Florida.
Oh.
I've got to be careful how many people I tell.
We consider it good judgment.
if you ever need anything, come in. Trish is here pretty much every day. Yeah, come see Trish.
I appreciate it.
If you need anything, she can bring your eye, whatever you need to us, or point you in the right direction.
Certainly try. Thank you. Well, I've got to come back to hear about the salt in the lake issue. I've worked with the water management district back home.
So the key is we try to keep the salt out of the lake. That's not a Florida thing.
Well, thank you. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you, guys.
I'm going to get him out of the room before he...
he's been great.
Good.
Thank you.
He becomes a three-year-old. Tom, Joni Dover, 700 bars. I just called Joni. At the Hobby Lobby.
He's gonna love going to Samerton Central.
The school. Central.
The school.
I drove by the other day. And
that's the flagship school of the district.
And if you're looking for anything for him to do, I believe our Parks and Rec director is doing like activity bags on Mondays. Is that true?
Okay.
She's still doing that. So
sign up and
the rec director puts activity bags together.
They got a reading program through the library. If you're bored right now, there's a craft fair going on up at Old Town Hall.
So. Yeah. From
till
8 o'clock tonight, there's a craft fair. From 7 to 8, Molten Band will be playing up there. If you want to go hear some music, the town band. So.
All right, well, now we can get serious about the
stay safe. Please, stay safe.
Thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Very excited to see what magic they're going to do in the old town. They're very gifted. We may have met on that to the house.
Well, you'll find there are a lot of young families that have taken on older houses around here, so you'll have people to commiserate with about the joys and the challenges.
Thank you so much.
Bye, take
care.
Thank you.
See ya. Good night, Adam.
Alden.
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 Alden, not Adam.
I thought it was Adam Alden. Okay. Well, I was never good with names. Steve. Okay, Paul, what do you got?
So, you have my memo. So, a number of months ago, I got permission from the board to start to move forward with getting DPS to start putting numbers together for the full scope of the project. Mm-hmm. And so, he originally got, if you notice, some of the dates are a little off. June 2nd, he got me the scope of work for the bathroom renovations. We went back and forth on a couple different options. And I put it out to the membership to discuss some, we had, I think, three different options. One was take out both bathrooms and do two bathrooms with two showers each. And another one was leaving a smaller public restroom and then adding two bathrooms with two showers, which got a little cramped. And so with discussion with the PD, discussion with my members, we decided that, one, we want to keep the public restroom. So in theory, we're going to add a third bathroom in there. And those two bathrooms will be members only with showers. And then we'll have the public restroom. And so because of the showers and the use of those, we just thought it would be too much to have just two bathrooms. So back and forth with Barry at BPS, looking at different options and what we wanted to do, he came up with this scope of work, and I was very, very happy with the number. You know, we came in at $70,581 just for the bathroom renovations, which is, if any of you have ever done a bathroom or a kitchen renovation, they're not cheap because of plumbing and hardware and fixtures and all that. But still, at the end of the day, I was still very happy with that number. So that led me on to, okay, let's now start talking about the water filtration. So we met with the contractor, came in, did some testing on the water, figured out what we were going to need. He then, in turn, got that proposal to me. You'll see that one is in here at $12,000 and some change. Water filtration, yep. This is also designed, after our conversation, that this is being built and designed so that if this building, whatever happens with it at some point, we're able to bring the filtration over to this building. It's not feasible now without digging up the parking lot. But depending on how this whole thing sugars off, we could dig up the parking lot, which we're going to have to do eventually, and then run the line. Yeah. So it will cover both buildings. The one nice thing about there is going to be some ongoing cost with the filtration because of the sand filter formula that they use.
There's maintenance.
Right. Yeah. But after looking at that, you know, we spend a ton of money on bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get this water filtration, so now the water is drinkable, it's potable, we can use it, we can do away with the bottled water, in turn saving money there, and just the cost will still be there, but the cost will be shifted to the maintenance. So I was very impressed with that number. The other one was the upgrade to the front entrance. As we all know, I know Chief Hankert has mentioned this in the past a number of times, that we have that beautiful, you know, bulletproof glass, but all they got to do is stick the gun underneath the counter and they could shoot through the regular sheetrock and
jump on the desk.
Right. So this number actually surprised me a little bit when I got the final numbers until I really looked at the scope. This one came in at $48,000 to do that front entrance, which seems like a lot of money. But when you actually look at the scope and what's being done, that whole lobby area, both sides of the, because, you know, we're going to have firefighters on one side, PD on the other side for now. And so both of those walls, that whole area will be basically bulletproof. Or not bulletproof, but resistant. Correct. Thank you.
Yeah.
So looking at the security system, all of that, I thought that was a fairly good number, and so that's that one. So by the time when all of these numbers were crunched, we still had money left. And if you remember my conversation, if we had money left, I'd be looking at the window replacement. So that's when I had Barry start looking at the windows. If you notice from the memo that I sent with their proposal, we are going to make some modifications. They are going to be egress windows, so they're going to have to come down a little bit, which is okay. And we're going to eliminate one of the windows that's actually in my office where there's three wide. We're just going to go to two windows. The one on this side of the wall will continue with three just because we need that. We need that daylight into the building. It really gets dark in there without those windows. And so that number came in at 31,000. That also includes, which is included in that, is the door replacement for the chief's back door that goes into their booking room. You can almost put your finger through that door right now. It's just, you know, the salt sits in there, and it's just rotted the door out. So we're going to replace that door as part of that. So that one came in at 31.
Is that the one that's going to get the metal frame?
Yes.
Metal door.
Okay.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, we came in still with the windows, with everything else, just south of $12,000 under budget, at 163 and some change. But remember, these are his estimate numbers, and there's also some allowances built in to these, not knowing where electrical is going to be, and there's some other things. So there's some wiggle room, which I'm very happy with BPS putting in those types of contingencies. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to be very, very well off with the numbers.
And I noticed this is the first one where I've seen a proposal where it's got a whole bunch of excludes written into it.
Yep. But those really,
to be specific,
those aren't really, you know, affecting us, any of the exclusions. Yeah. They're not pertinent.
Well, no, it's just
either.
Making the
making
the proposal more specific.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm looking for some input. If everybody is happy, I'm looking for a vote to move forward to get this project started.
I think that we've been here before, and I think we've had more than one.
I've been very impressed with working with them.
We go through all the material there, about the street. And, I would suggest
that I just hear you make a motion.
Well, we probably want to make the more specific one that we've got, but
okay.
The only, the intermediate step that we need to, we can approve it tonight,
mm-hmm.
but the intermediate thing we have to figure out, and this is just a conversation
it's
with Peg. Has it already been moved, or is?
Yeah, it's all there. It's in the budget.
Yeah. No, just it's actually taking the money out of the unassigned fund balance,
right.
Putting it
moving
into the town
into
building
the,
improvement,
right.
So we can take it back
it's
out.
It's in there.
Yeah. Oh, she already put it in.
Yeah.
Oh.
When she sets up FY21 with everything that was voted upon and appropriated at town meeting, that's where it is.
This is why we love Peg.
Exactly.
Well, I'll make a motion then. Motion to, there's no objection.
It's
motion
got
to approve the proposal for the renovations of the life safety building in amount of $163,000. The project to Burnett Page and Stone, funds to come from the Town Building Improvement Capital Reserve Fund, approved at the 2020 town meeting, and then Article 2, modification to the legislation.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none, I'll go to a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining, votes unanimous, ayes have it, motion passes. You have your permission.
Thank you. So, I should have mentioned this while Tom was making the motion. Do you want to make a motion to have me sign these? Because the proposals are San Bernardino Fire Department.
Well, I'll amend my motion to include authorizing Fire Chief Paul Dexter to sign the contract.
Yeah, just do a separate.
Are you seconding? Yeah, I'll second it as a separate motion to allow him to sign on behalf of him. Are we doing it as that, or he's just said he amended it?
He can't amend the motion because we already approved it. So.
Okay. So we have a second motion on the floor. And second, any discussion of the second motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Paul, you have permission to sign.
Perfect.
When are they going to start?
As soon as I call them tomorrow and say, hey. It's real now. Let's get going.
Okay.
It's real now. We'll see you tomorrow to start work.
I'm hoping, you know, well, you know, a lot of the things are going to be done sort of together. The demo probably is going to want to do a lot of that at the same time. He's demoing other stuff. So I don't know. We're going to sit down and talk about an actual work schedule, and because the toilets won't be usable, and I may have to get together with Trish about getting two extra, if we're going to keep the doors locked. I may have to have people come over here and use the bathroom. They are going to have a portable toilet over there, but, you know, we may end up having
to. Oh, everybody loves going to porta potties.
Yeah, I know.
Especially the women.
So I'm hoping to wrap. I want to wrap this up before cold weather gets here.
I was going to say, what are they telling you in terms of rough timeline?
Well, really, the big ones are going to be the subs, which are the water filtration system. They're going to be doing the windows. They're going to be doing. Their contractors are going to be doing most of the construction stuff. So really, the only two subs we have is a water system and the security portion that we're going to, that Capital's going to do.
Okay.
It does our regular line system. So those are really going to be the only subs. But he didn't lead me to believe, because we really weren't sure where all the full scope was going to be. He didn't lead me to believe that it was going to be more than a few months.
Yeah, shouldn't be.
So I don't think it's going to be that crazy. So. All right, good, thank you.
Just a follow-up question, not with respect to this, but is there progress being made on the town hall restoration?
On the what?
I thought we could do some work at the town hall.
Well, so no, we applied for a grant.
Yeah, I know, okay. Yeah.
So we're still waiting on the results of that. I looked. Last year, the results came out in late August, so I'm expecting probably the same thing this year. And then right now, you know, we don't have anything specific planned, and we still don't have a town hall warden who can help us with identifying, you know, any work that needs to be done. We put money in this year, which we didn't do last year. So we've got money. Money added to the Old Town Hall Restoration Fund that we can use to do some work, but we need to get it identified. Unless this grant comes through, in which case, you know, the whole thing's going to get new foundation.
Can we put it on our website that the selectmen are looking
for? We probably should re-advertise it.
Town warden.
And we got the tree warden taken care of, so a steward for the Old Town Hall.
Who did you get this?
Guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Moving on, the transfer station updates. Was he going to be here?
Nate, are you on the phone?
I am.
Ah.
And Shauna should also be on the phone also.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right. See you, Paul.
Bye.
I guess I will start with the new items price list. I did the math on this one because we got the new contract that started July 1st. I will point out on my math page that I did that shows all the actual like numbers and percentages.
Yep.
For my C&D hauling and disposal, I accidentally put the same things in old contract and new contract. The math is correct. You just actually have to do the subtraction to figure out the old contract. This is what happens when I try to do it when we're open and I'm getting sidetracked.
All right.
But
so
all
the old would have been 82.
Yeah, $82 for disposal and $155 for hauling. But with those percentages that I got put together, for the MSW, the household trash, the sticker prices and bag prices would have to go up. So 37% increase, it would come out to weird change, like, you know, 85 cents or something. So I would, like, round one up and round one down. But I think I have a reasonably understandable price increase on them that most people can understand. It's the same as it kind of was. A blue sticker is the same as a small bag. A few people did come up to us and ask if we were going to do away with quarters. but I couldn't sit there and justify how a pink sticker would say $1 and a large bag would go up to $3. So unfortunately, we'll still have to go along with quarters and more of them. As for the C&D construction and demolition, that had an increase of 42%. So if you go to the next pages, the furniture category has current pricing on the left and new pricing on the right. Again, it didn't come out to perfectly even numbers, so I would round one way or the other. So in theory, they all should equal each other out. And same with the actual like construction demolition pricing of truck beds for mixed C&D and heavy C&D. And then there is a topic on propane tanks that I'm going to let Nate talk about later on, because he talked to the NRA about that. But that doesn't have to do with the price increase on our new contracts. So basically, we had the idea of we could throw this right into motion, but with all the chaos that's already going on at the transfer station and trying to keep people happy, and even just trying to get people used to buying stickers and bags again, this wasn't another stressor we wanted to add exactly right now. And we also definitely think we need to give people a heads up, like this is going to be increasing. So we were thinking maybe start putting it into action on January 1st or whatever the first day is that we're open at the beginning of the new year. So that way we can actually starting in like maybe October-ish, put a sign out saying it'll be increased. And then at that point, our year-round residents will know about it. So by the time summer comes around again, the year-round residents should have it set in their mind that they know what to do, and we only have to train the summer residents when they come back. And it's not an all at one swoop.
Yeah.
And so my question would be, have you as the board had a chance to digest this, and what are your feelings with it?
So I'll say from my point, or my part, that I think this only makes sense. I mean, we're in tough times with trash and recycling as it is, just because of the nature of the market right now. It's driving the cost up. It's driving everything up. And this is one area where we can fairly, charge citizens based on how much of the service they actually use. Okay. If you don't want to use trash removal, you don't want to dump trash or dump debris, then you don't have to pay for it. But I think it's a necessary move to try to at least offset some of these increased costs, because it's gonna eat our budget up if we keep trying to roll this in and then.
And if we don't make some sort of adjustment.
Yeah.
And I think the adjustments that have been made are reasonable. There's no huge jumps in cost. Current to new has been kept to a very reasonable percentage increase.
I agree with my colleagues. I think that the proposal that you had a chance to look at last night and today is very reasonable. As Jim did mention, the cost of programs becoming more and more expensive. Going up
so
reasonable. So I support the recommendation.
Okay, Nate, you had something you wanted to say?
Yeah, so as to what Shauna was saying about time frames of this, what are your feelings on that?
I think the time frame is reasonable. You've taken into consideration bringing the live here people up to date before you start bringing them all up to date.
One note, Nate.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I barely, but yes.
At last year's audit, the auditors had some sort of an issue with the discretion that the attendants were using.
And they're going to continue to have it until we have a scale.
Right, I know, so. But I sent Nate something that I came across from the NRRA or whatever it was, and I didn't know if that was something that you felt would be useful, that would sort of had like a picture as to this is the truckload, this is what it's going to be considered and charged at. Something a little bit more visual.
Right, it's...
Something to jump off of and go from.
And maybe in that way, some of the problem is that signs don't get read, even the great big ones.
Yeah,
and this such
everybody
a...
Everybody reference back to.
And I agree, and at some point we're going to have more points again with the NRA, and we could potentially get that sign. So the problem is there's every vehicle is different. There's not one vehicle the same. They don't come in perfectly leveled off with this is light demo or this is heavy demo. It's all mixed in. But, yes, I get your point of here's a starting point when you're coming in and you say, oh, yeah.
I think it would behoove us to make some sort of an effort to just show some sort of uniformity as to how we're judging what we're charging people.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, I agree. Somehow with the knowledge being that things fluctuate. And so I've saved that email. We spent all of our points. What's that?
You can work on it as well and sort of change it to fit what you think would be appropriate. Not just use
right.
Yours as all end all.
Well, it's a good starting point. As I was saying, and I think Shauna would have the answer to this better than I do, as to we used all of our points because we buy our signs using points that the NRA gives us, and we spent them all on getting a new sign for the gate. So we're out of points right now.
So with that, the NRA, they have set signs that we can use points on. There isn't a sign they have that has pictures of the truck beds, so that would have to be something we'd actually financially have to do ourselves. They have signs that say, you know, this is where mercury items go and construction demolition. They don't have, like, one with a picture of...
So I guess that being said, we'll find out how much it's going to cost.
Okay.
So I guess from my perspective, I don't know why we're waiting till January. I mean, I get that it's July. That's 5 months away. I would be in favor of maybe starting this in October, for example, when we go into our winter hours. You get the same effect. You start advertising it now. You give people a heads up. It's not going to get everybody because not everybody reads the signs or pays attention to the notices. But that's 3 extra months of offsetting some of these costs that have gone up 40%. That's going to have a quarter of the budget year right there. So I would think we could target now that, since we're having this discussion so early, we could target it for sometime in October or November instead of waiting.
Start October.
Well, if I had my druthers, it would be October 1st.
Well, you're in charge of the transfer station, so.
Well, you guys need to. So the other thing is I think that something like this should probably go into the Daily Sun also. The education,
yep.
So that, right?
And our town website.
And the town website and a notice up at the town hall and notices, obviously, we'll figure out something that's pretty down at the transfer station and go from there. I mean, obviously it's going to be a shocker to some people, no matter how long it's been. So
yeah, so we could certainly work on the timing, all of that. I think, you know, a daily sun is probably happens closer to the October 1st start, but we can start now.
Correct.
Putting together, you know, do some flyers that we can laminate here so you can leave them outside, you know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, if we get 50% of the people, that's probably good.
Right. So I guess that I would ask you guys to approve this whole new price list.
Well, we have to talk about the propane tanks first.
Yeah,
you talked to the NRA about that.
Well, so as you'll notice that the pricing went weird on propane tanks.
Yeah, it kind of went down.
But, well, because it hasn't been implemented properly. There was a lack of files on what was going on. There's two different vendors that take two different propane tanks, styles of propane tanks. And so from the numbers that the NRA sent out, these are the fair numbers to the residents of the town, as long as there's not damage done to the tank. So, you know, basically this makes it so that we're not paying to get rid of propane tanks at the same time as they're not overpaying to get rid of their propane tanks.
Okay, I guess I don't. If you say these are the right numbers and you've got the, you know, conversation with NRA to back everything up, I'm fine with them.
Right. It never made any sense to charge $3 for a 1 pound tank and $2 for a 20 pound tank, when it costs the town $2 to get rid of a 20 pound tank. I'm just going to say, in Shauna's math, the trucking of all this is included into this. So it all washes itself. The whole propane thing is washed. The one issue that we have with propane tanks is the amount that we need to hold. And that's something that we need to discuss at some point.
Make a motion to adopt the price list, the new price list proposed by the transfer station, go into effect October 1st, along with appropriate education to the public in Sanlitun regarding the changes.
I would second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Is there any discussion of the motion?
Maybe you could do some handouts to people when they come to the station regarding the changes, and so they're aware, so they get prepared between now and October to understand the increase in fees.
So we have a pamphlet that's been updated that we're giving out, and obviously it's going to have to get updated again now. So we're already handing pamphlets out to people. One of the things that we're finding is go ahead.
We just may want to try just a single pager of just the, you know, the disposal costs, so you can start handing that out early, right? People may actually read that.
Yep.
Sort it out. Whatever you think is going to work. You're the
one. Well, simple is good.
Okay,
simple's good.
Do we have any more comments about the motion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion passes, Nate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. Anything else, guys?
So, well, just, is there any other questions for me?
I don't think questions, but last meeting we talked about the RFP for the library roofing, which I know has gone out.
Mm-hmm.
I just make sure we're all on the same page that you know, by agreement with the Library Board of Trustees, external work on the library is the town's responsibility. So in your capacity as the maintenance facilities manager, that falls on you. But from an expectation standpoint, and we will clarify this with the Library Board of Trustees, your job is getting the RFP out, which is done, and then you'll be the point of contact during the project. But there's no expectation from the board's perspective that you're going to be the on-site manager standing there watching the roof get put on. I mean, if they have issues, they can contact you. I know, you know, you'll
correct
every day just to check on it anyway, but you know, it's not going to be a full-time job for you to stand there and babysit a roofing project while it's going on.
Correct. I am not a project manager.
Right.
Of sorts.
So we'll make sure that's clear, and you know, everybody has the right expectation going into it, but
we can make you a project manager.
You guys are so funny.
okay.
I will do everything. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish up.
Yeah,
we
know you
another
will.
Topic. So the other thing I when I was out at the transfer station last week, I talked to Nate about, and this is not something we're going to solve tonight, but he's got a lot of capital equipment and capital needs that aren't captured in a capital improvement plan. So what he and I talked about and what we will work on this budget cycle is getting him into the CIP process, just like highway department, fire department, police department, so that his equipment replacement, his, you know, he's got the loader or the backhoe, he's got the forklift, but more importantly, he's got the compactors, right?
Yeah.
If the MSW compactor goes out,
right,
we're done, right?
Yeah.
He can't. So, you know, we need to have that stuff in a long-term plan for both maintenance and for eventual replacement. He's got facility needs, you know, roof on the transfer station itself needs to be addressed. So we'll work on helping to build at least a first cut at a CIP plan specifically for the transfer station, and then start looking this year with money we have in town building improvements and facilities funds on what immediate things he needs to address, because he's got some, you know, crumbling bulkheads and rust going on with the around the ledge of the compactor that we want to get ahead of before it becomes a crisis.
Now, you and I talked about that last meeting.
Yeah. So just so everybody's aware, we'll work with him to get that in the long-term plan, so he's not showing up with a bill for $100,000 to replace a compactor,
right,
because it was never thought of.
Okay.
And I'm already in process of getting some of these quotes, but I'm not. I guess I'll have to ask for clarification. I don't need to be getting three or four different quotes to get started with a CIP, correct?
No. Right at this point, it's ballpark. You know, what do you think a new compactor costs, and how long do you think it's going to be before we need to replace it? And then we just divide it. You know, if it's going to last another 5 years and it costs $100,000, we ought to be putting $20,000 a year aside. It's that kind of big math, not quotes from vendors.
Gotcha.
And if you can get it off the internet, that's close enough to get started. And then we'll keep finding it.
All right. Very good.
Okay. Nate, Shauna, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Moving on, is there any other new business to be brought up?
No.
Okay, then we will move on to old business. And the 2018 Homeland Security Grant Program Award.
All right. Well,
he brought toys.
I did. Yes, my purse, like nice and heavy. This actually, I brought this before the board last year. Initially, it's a Homeland Security grant that we did get approval for. Basically, tonight would just be you guys either signing it or authorizing Trish to sign it. I sign it as the project manager. Peggy will sign it as the finance officer. And then Trish and I looked at the requirements, and either the board representative or someone the board tells can do it. But what this is for is it's called the Warm Zone Project. This grant was offered to the fire department first. And it's basically it's $6,000 for the town. I didn't set the amount. That's what they offer. There's specific things that the money can be spent on. The reason it's offered to the fire department first is I'll give you a quick summation. Primarily an active shooter event. Basically, things have changed over the years. And basically what would happen now if we, God forbid, had an active shooter event. Like when we had suspected one in Aunt Bonnie, I ran into that building by myself looking for the bad guy. How the fire departments have typically worked is they stay off scene until the area is completely cleared and completely safe and called a cold zone at that point. The new trends in firefighting, and New Hampshire is really getting on board with it now, is a warm zone concept, where basically, as an example, we'll use a building such as the Central School. If there was an active shooter in one hallway, police, our job is to go stop that shooter, so we go in that area and go after the person. The areas of the school that have been cleared and are able to be secured become a warm zone area, meaning that the fire department could come in with their medical personnel, escorted by armed police, to get some of the injured out, okay? And that becomes the warm zone as opposed to the cold zone now. Paul and I have had discussions with some of his officers as well. Paul has chosen, and it's his right, to not participate in that program. He has some good reasons for that. He doesn't have a full-time fire department, so he doesn't believe that a lot of his officers really have the training to do that. So because he has chosen not to do that, then Homeland Security said to me, well, hey, do you need $6,000 worth of equipment? Okay. And like I said, it had a specific list of equipment. What I am looking to spend it on is heavy ballistic vests, the armor plates, and helmets if necessary. Now, we're not talking these vests. We're talking rifle vests. This is the one that I keep in my car. And if you're asking how often we used it, I had to put this on when I responded to a SWAT call in Gilmington back the end of May. So I have...
With the 308.
Yeah, just recently. This is the type of helmet that we'd be looking at. That's a ballistic helmet. If you guys want to see it. But that will stop most pistol rounds and deflect some rifle rounds. This is the type of vest we're looking at. This one is pretty old technology. Again, I have the oldest vest. The back plate of this is metal. The front is ceramic, but it's an old ceramic, so whether it would work or not, I don't know.
Heavy?
But yeah, it's heavy? It's pretty heavy.
You're going to break his arm. Man.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy. But basically what this is for is if we have an incident like I went to a couple months ago or an active shooter, God forbid, is this goes over our uniform. We have pistol mags here, magazines, rifle magazines here, a tourniquet back here, and med kits here. Okay, so it's basically quick deployment. Heavy armor, so this will stop a 308, an AK-47, a lot of heavy rounds that we may encounter, okay? So the reason, what we have now is we have four of these, two old ones like this, and two fairly new ones, which you were selecting back in 2016. We bought two after the Dallas shooting where the five officers were killed.
basically what I'm looking to do is get six of these setups with two heavy plates front and back, for each of the officers. The reason I want to do that is assign it to an officer, because then he puts the stuff where he or she wants it. And also it'll be fit to them. So like if this one, I'm fortunate, I have a take home car, this one is designed for me. But the other guys share it. So if they get, if they get a situation, they throw their vest on, it may not fit them.
Warren tried to put it on after Shane's
exactly.
been wearing it.
It's not going to fit right. Yeah. So this way, each of them will be have a vest and a helmet fit for them. So it'll be that much quicker. And basically what I'm doing with the money now is I'm looking at how many, because these helmets are fine. I'm seeing how many of these we have versus how many we'll need to buy. And then what we'll do is most of the money is going to buy just the vests and the plates. That's about 5,200 of the 6,000. And then the remaining money will either be for helmets, or it'll buy the little pouches or the tabs, that sort of thing. These are Velcro, so we want these for front and back. And then, there will be, this won't cover all of it. The rest will come out of my budget because, this stuff is small potatoes compared to the rest of it. So, but like I said, this grant is, it's a specific amount and it's only a specific list. And this is all stuff that is on that list. So just looking for your approval for us to get that signed and get it rolling. It was actually, I was actually awarded it in the beginning of March.
You'll be getting a new vest as well?
Yes, mine will be one of the ones we place, yes.
Once you get enough vests for each of the officer, will he be able to keep it in his possession?
Yeah basically,
so
they will be. They'll
if
be
he's
getting,
at home and he has to respond, it'll be in his
yeah,
car.
Yeah, they could. They could either keep it in their car or leave, because they'll get a bag like this, or leave it at the PD, whichever they prefer. So they will be, ready to go. So they'll be ready to go wherever.
I'm just thinking about response time.
Yeah. But it's a huge tool. And we have the money available, so let's spend it. But like I was saying, it was actually approved in March.
March 3rd, yeah.
And then, beginning of March was when the COVID thing hit and everything changed. Well, I got an email from Homeland Security saying, we want your first progress report on the grant. So I filled it out and sent it in, and that's fine. And then she emailed me back, I never got your signed paperwork. I'm like, what? And then I realized, oops. So she said, yeah, just get it signed and email it to me. So I'm a little late. But
I'm original for whoever wants to sign
up. Now, you've done these before, John. It's the one with like 12 pages of initials. And
I've done it before. Yes.
So
I did it in 2016.
I would make a motion that the Board of Selectmen accept the unanticipated funds from Department of Homeland Security in the amount of $6,000 under RSA 3195:B or parentheses B, and authorize the town administrator to act as the, what do they call it?
Signatory.
Authorized official for all of the paperwork.
Signatory.
This is authorized. Yeah, authorized official is what they designated.
I'll second that, as long as I don't have to sign an initial at all. Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? The ayes have it. Motion passes. You can get your pen out.
Perfect. Thank you.
And Peg has to sign it, too.
Yeah,
Peg
has to sign it, too.
Okay.
So I actually did get good news. It looks like our cruiser, which normally I would have it by now, but with the COVID thing, Ford was all backed up. Apparently, it's set to be built the week of August 17th. So we should have our new cruiser hopefully by fall, and set up probably by mid-fall. So
yeah. You're liking the new hybrid?
Love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah. So yeah, the next one is going to be a hybrid. I ordered base. The next one will have more in it. It'll have a full light bar and some stuff on it, but the hybrid's been fantastic. It's really been working out good for us. So, yeah.
And I guess I'd be curious to see how it does in the winter when it sits for a long time and you can't leave it running.
Right. It might get a little cold.
If it'll start, if it'll kick into the gasoline power right away, or
it probably will. In fact, because I put it on the road in what, March, maybe late February, early March.
February,
and yeah, I noticed that it would. It would go right to gas when I started it in the better weather. Yeah. But then once you get driving for a while, then you'll be driving and it'll turn off. Mm. You know, so that's kind of cool.
That's got to be an experience.
It's funny, when the switch is over. I had to bring Warren down to pick up the pickup truck that was getting serviced, and that is so weird because I turned the key on the car, and of course it didn't start.
Nothing yet.
And it didn't actually kick in until I was on 132. Yeah, I said, you'll get used to it. I said, it'll be weird for a while, but you'll get used to it. All right, well, thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks, Steve.
That was just like the cars when they came out, and when you pulled up to a stop sign, the engine quit.
Yeah, the auto stop or whatever it is. Yeah, my Jeep does that. Yeah,
the Mercedes does that, and it took me a long time to get used to that.
Right. All right, thanks, guys.
See ya.
Okay, moving on. Town Administrator's Report.
All righty.
We don't have any more old business, do we?
No.
Okay.
Nope. I've got a couple of updates, actually, for you guys from the attorney. He wanted me to inform you guys that, and I have this to pass out to you, that CCAG will be out doing their second quarter of the data for the reevaluation scheduled for 2023. All of the appraisers will have ID badges and signs on their cars, and a list of the appraisers with their pictures and license information will be available at the town office or police station. It'll be affecting tax maps 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23. There is, what else? Oh, I don't know if I have it. She showed me, and I saw, and we talked about the postcard that let everybody know that there's going to be somebody in their area. They're still doing the social distancing, and they're going to ask for people, if they're not around at that time that they stop by, if they want to call and make an appointment with Terry, that they'll be able to do so at that time, so that we can sort of try to get everybody as we best we can. Ending in-person hearings for the time being. So anything that's going to go to the BTLA will be done telephonically. And we had a barn.
Thriller.
Yes. We had a barn preservation easement. That was applied for appropriately by the April 15th date. The people who applied for the easement, because it's an extension of their barn preservation easement currently, don't all of the time live in town. So they asked if they could have the hearing after that April 15th date, which the Board of Selectmen typically has 60 days to review and have that hearing. However, with the COVID, everything sort of stopped. And unfortunately, one of the owners of this particular property has passed away. And the son and the mother of the son of the people who own the property and his mother, who does own the property, they're asking for to a public hearing for August. So I would like it if you guys would consider doing that over the telephone with this gentleman, because he's still working out his parents' and estate and helping his mom, and he doesn't live here. So if that's all right with you guys, I'm going to post the public hearing, because it has to have a certain amount of days, and let that gentleman know. His name is Mr. Mokler. We are starting the audit process, and in your packets, which I should have printed out a couple of them if you wanted, the audit auditors have asked specifically that the selectmen each fill out that governance questionnaire And you can either give it to me if you'd like, or I can get you the name of her, Jen. I can get you Jen's email address and contact information if you want it. So that's for you guys to work on. They're going to be here, I believe, the second week in October. Anything that we can get to them beforehand would be helpful so that they take less time. She's given Peg and Julie quite an extensive list of things and documents to gather for them. I don't think that it will take quite as long as last time, given they... ...less of a disarray this year.
Is that in the packet?
It should have been in the back of it.
Yeah, near the back, probably right before the minutes.
Yeah.
It looks like that.
Yeah, okay, I saw that.
So they just ask that you fill that out with any sort of information that you may have or anything that... Yeah. ...have been looking into.
Okay.
We had a couple of issues with the island stuff, but... The fire department has been very helpful in getting those signs, the permanent signs placed out on the island, but I guess there's some disruption that's going on between some private owners of some of these islands that are out on the Plummer Pond area. And so we're just sort of working through, we might have to order more signs.
Yeah, and it was also something where there was a no trespassing sign on the beach, and it came to find out that that beach was an association beach,
not
a public beach.
And I don't believe that any of the parcels that are actually what would be considered association common land are noted appropriately on the tax card.
Yeah,
I looked into a couple of other, I know that the city of Laconia has association beaches, and those particular parcels are held by the association with the going to the president, like any communication will be going to the president of that said association.
Yeah.
And I don't know necessarily how it's valued on the Laconia tax maps, but...
Well, so our problem, so if you go into our
mind.
Tax records and you sort by owner and you sort by common land, which is what...
Yeah.
Mr. Dolan had
had
pulled up, you know, and was saying, why are they posting it? It's town land. None of that it's all listed as tax-exempt municipal. It lists our post office box as the address or the mailing address, but it's not town-owned property. So we need to get those. There's like 60 parcels, I think, in that list.
Yeah.
'Cause there's a separate list owned by Town of Samberton, which are very clear, things like the Moose Run property.
Yeah. I think what the other thing you might want to do that might be helpful is have Steve go back and look at the planning board record when Mr. Huber subdivided that property.
It is deeded to certain properties out there.
Yeah,
very old deeds, but it is deeded.
I think what he did is that he gave all the parcels quite to use the we can go back and look at the planning board discussion with Huber and what they approved, because if that...
But it's not just there, though. It's... There's...
I don't know what the reason is but as to why those parcels were listed like that, but you're right. They need to be fixed.
And if they're not... They should be taxed, the other part of it. If they're
right. Well, like the one in Laconia, and I know only because my friends are part of that association, it's not listed in their deed. However, I know that they pay dues, and I believe that that particular parcel in the city of Laconia is taxed. I mean, obviously, it's a huge beach, of Lake Winnesquam, so.
Yeah. You have to have somebody research.
Yeah, and that's the problem. It's going to take a lot of...
And those deeds are really
digging.
Like some of them are very old, and it's
so that's a good idea though to start with when the land was subdivided.
What you might want to do is call Evelyn Osher.
Yep.
286-8490. She I might have been on the planning board when
probably
she did that subdivision. So she would probably, knowing her, would remember how that was done and how it was apportioned in terms of that beach lot, you know, how that went through.
Even to point in the right direction of what year all of that happened, so we can take a look.
It'd be a good resource on that.
Yeah, we need...
He's dead now, I think. But Evelyn's got a memory like an elephant. She'd be a good resource.
I'll tell you what file drawer it's in.
Okay.
But, yeah, so that's going to be laid out somehow as a project to get in and start. I know on top of trying to process the daily stuff, but that's a lot of properties to be miscategorized.
I wonder if our assessing company has any done like that.
Can't hurt to ask them.
Yeah.
And what when they've gone out, have they looked at any of those properties, and did they?
I assume they've looked at them.
There's been a lot more development in that area, too. So
yeah.
We don't want neighbors fighting with each other if we can help it.
No, but eliminating the confusion is a help, right?
Yeah.
So it's not mislabeled, and then, we've got a lot of lakefront property that's not, or waterfront property that's not being properly taxed for its value, that makes everybody else pay more.
Right,
so.
True.
Docs.
That's all I have. We've been plugging along. Just keep on moving. Peg will, I think she's going to wait one more week just to make sure before she does that final expenditure run. And then we'll have some numbers. She's thinking that we're in single digit percentage-wise, probably about 400,000 going back into the general fund.
Which is
reasonable.
Yeah, no, that's here. But that's been, Ray can back me up. He's got all the long-term averages, but we have been putting somewhere in that vicinity back every year, so that's...
Yeah, last year I think it was like 600-something.
Yeah.
So just piggyback on that with Ray and all that other stuff, I'm meeting with Dave tomorrow to talk about making sure he's been talking with BMSI, their IT person, about what specs he will need to make sure that our new server has. And I believe BMSI put their test payroll on our server so that Peg can start running it. I'd like to get a training with them as well. but... So I'll be meeting with Dave, and we're going to talk about, the server and, how that's going to get all installed and stuff like that, because I don't think that he wants to duplicate the effort of putting all new programs on one and then having to redo it all again in a week or two. I don't know how long servers take to get, but so we are working on it, and he's, waiting for stuff from BMSI and da-da-da-da, and it'll all fall into place. Like dominoes, I guess.
Is this tied into that new telephone system we were supposed to get?
No, that's coming finally at the last week of August. They were supposed to be here the August 15th week or August 17th week, but I said, I'm fine with that. I just want to let you know that I won't be here. And she goes, okay, well, we'll just wait. I said, okay. So that'll be the August 21st or whatever, 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah, I go to Maine every year with my children. So.
You bring them back every year, too?
I try to leave them.
But nobody,
where do you go in Maine?
But they keep chasing you down and giving them back?
Yes. I rent a place in Wells.
Oh, okay.
It's
nice place.
Pretty much right on the ocean,
yeah.
Just across the street and from, the second public way in. Very convenient. They love it.
I used to have a trailer down in Wells Beach.
I would love that. The last thing is for me, Jim had drafted a letter for you to sign thanking Justin for his help with the putting up the flags in the town square.
Yeah, they look really great.
They look lovely.
I think he did a nice job getting them. Yeah.
So if you want to just take a minute and sign that.
Yep, sure.
Yeah, the plastic ones or whatever.
The banner.
Are they vinyl? I don't know what they are.
No, I think they look good, and so far, I meant to point out to Paul, I moved two of them specifically in front of the fire department because they were ones that were getting wrapped, so I put them on different poles, and so far, they're all staying.
There's one down there got hung up, but then I guess it got itself loose.
They've all been coming, you know, they do for a little while, especially when it rains and they get wet, but
yeah.
So far, I've only had to go back up once.
Is that it?
That's all I have.
Can you do me a favor
and
get the 2019 town report and the 2020 warrant up on the website? Huh. Right there this afternoon.
I don't know what... I
went to look for something, and the last year, the previous ones were there, but not this year's. And I thought you had done it. I don't know what happened.
I had.
Yeah.
There's been other instances where things, like I had put the audio up one day, and then like the next day it was gone, and I'm like, no, I know I did this. And
yeah.
I did. And
I remember you saying it was you had put it up, but
yeah.
They've disappeared. Whether it was a backup or something that overwrote.
Well, the people who host the website, they had an update, I believe it was like 2 weeks ago, maybe three, and had a couple of hiccups with their website, like with security stuff, so I'm not sure if something might have gotten lost in that shuffle, but.
Yeah.
Do you want me to just mail this to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, any other?
Yes, I actually have one more thing now, actually, that you say that. Sorry. A little bit frazzled today. I submitted the initial paperwork for the Gopher grant.
Oh, yeah.
And they kicked it back because you guys didn't authorize me to sign anything, or I can reprint it and have you guys sign it all again.
I thought we did.
You did it?
I thought we did.
Yeah.
If you did and it's in a minute somewhere, then I couldn't find it because I looked.
Okay. Well, let's just
redo it.
Or make a motion that we authorize the town administrator to sign on behalf of the board for the Gopher reimbursement.
Yeah.
Grant.
I'll second that. We have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. You now have
Thank you.
Official.
Once you get the minutes printed and
official.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you saw so there was an update that came out today from the Municipal Association. A pretty significant change. They are now considering all public health and public safety salaries as reimbursable expenses under COFR, under the CARES
under
Act.
COVID.
Which means police, fire, and the health officer, we can claim their salaries for this whole period, which may end up being more than our allocation. But that's a significant change.
It would probably, because are we only
75,000.
Yeah.
All employees?
No, so just public safety. So it would be police and fire department, and then public health, so our health officer.
Does it matter? I didn't read it. I apologize. Does it matter that they've already gotten reimbursement through the federal government?
Well, the stipend. You talk about the stipend?
Yeah.
No, that's not salary. That's
that was an
so
it up and above. Over
right,
above.
So it's whatever we've paid them as salary.
How will get reimbursed?
Yeah,
we
would get. Yeah, we get the money. We can claim them as an expense under the CARES Act and get reimbursed for it. So, we'll have to run the numbers with Tom and Paul and Steve, but that could be a significant chunk of change.
My chauffeur has arrived.
Oh, so after all that, you didn't get your car back?
No, it's here now. Oh. She's been driving me around for like days.
Okay. Did you have something?
Oh, I can just tell you if you'd like an update. 65 lien notices for 2019 were mailed out yesterday.
65
lien notices for unpaid taxes for 2019. Some have already been paid. So far, so the 2019 P2 taxes, 98.21% is paid. Are ready in packets and
yeah, you're
how about absentee selectmen?
I get distracted. Did you do a packet?
No, I didn't know if you were going to come in and do them. So,
no,
they actually have somebody called Nobody on the Republican primary ballot for governor.
I don't know. I get to post all those,
they
get to put them up everywhere.
Well, I don't know if that's legal because nobody is not a registered voter. You got to be a registered voter in order to
apparently
sign up.
There was something similar to that on the presidential, I remember.
Yeah. That you have to pay your $1,000.
How did your walk through up at
election went through good. The only thing I am going to need to purchase is 4 more of the crowd control, the black with the
like the
ramp.
Airline.
I need 4 of those. And that should be it. We were all up there. We finally ended up just taking out those black crowd controls, and we moved them around, and it worked out well. Everybody had their input. It's going to need the help of the highway department. I spoke to Johnny. We're going to take all the benches out. Mm-hmm. And he came up with a solution of bringing the big trailer and just like putting them all on the trailer, so leaving them outside. Garage, then the next day we can bring them back.
We have a couple of chairs for the selectmen to be able to sit down on.
It's the only hard job is going to we change the flow. We're going to go in the front door and out the back door. So when you first walk in, who's ever letting people in? We don't only allow so many people in at a time. We have to keep count.
So you're going to rearrange the whole thing.
You're
with
going to walk in, and then you walk in. If you go to your right, that would be new registration. Then ballot clerks will be right here. Probably only 2, because we're not going to have that many people. You're not going to have.
Yeah.
You've got to control the people. And then they'll cut off, go here. I'll have a table here for myself. The voting booth will go on this wall and the back wall.
Mm.
You'll go down, come across, and before you leave, over by the heater, there'll be a table to go back to undeclared. And right out the back door you go.
Yeah, so the only thing there with the traffic management would be anybody who needs to use the handicapped access.
Anybody who has to use the handicap. The nice thing is it won't be 100 people waiting in line.
Question, how many voting booths are you planning on putting up?
We're going to put them all up, and we're going to block in between them.
They're all connected.
There's going to be so many
you can't,
open, so there's
yeah,
6
Yeah, I know
five.
They're all connected, but I mean, we have, as long as I've been selectman, we have never used all the voting booths.
But you still have to put them up for the count of the voters in town. I understand that.
Yeah.
But you have so many voters, you have to have so many booths. You have to follow the guidelines, but we will block them so they can't be side by side. Every voter will get their own pencil or pen and their own placemat to take with them and out the door. And they can go take them with them, and that way we don't have to clean everything. The state's giving us pencil or pen.
Don't you have to use a certain pen?
No.
You've
got to fill in the bubble.
What about the bathroom?
We will probably get pens because we have a voting machine and it won't count as well.
What about the bathroom?
We didn't discuss that. But we can put that on the list for the next time.
Maybe we can get a porta potty.
We're going to meet again.
And Tim had mentioned, or at least the idea of putting fans in the windows to,
yep,
to help with the airflow and blow it out.
The windows that face down the hill, one did open. I was surprised. I mean, it does need a good cleaning. The building, you know, always needs it. All the junk is gone in the front, but we're going to eliminate. And we're not going to have lunch next door.
Right.
So we already decided that, too.
Yeah.
So we'll order some lunch or something.
We're gonna bring in lunch and dinner, right?
We're gonna do something like that. Yeah, we'll probably bring in
maybe pizzas or whatever
for dinner or something. Or whatever. We're gonna pick, and I think we're gonna stagger shifts because nobody's gonna want to be devoting all day long. You know, so I gotta reach out. Some people won't want to come. So
yeah,
we'll see what we can get for the people who want to come and work, and we'll just adjust the pay, and then I'll make sure we have enough counters at night. They're going to let us open the ballots earlier in the day. We'll probably start at 9 a.m. opening up absentee ballots. But this is only the primary.
Right, right.
So this one's harder.
It's not going to be big.
No, I don't think it's going to be big. But we don't know. It depends how many people take absentee ballots for. And the only thing is it's harder on the clerks because supervise the checklist, because then they get to count the people who were, who went declared and who went to a party and then back to undeclared. So the count gets a little funky on their side. It's more for them. It's much easier when you don't have to.
Do you have to wipe down the booths and everything in between people?
We will not have to with the mask, but we probably still will. I don't think that's going to change. They're sending us all the personal protection stuff. They're sending us plexiglass, they're sending us face shields, 90 N95 masks, you name it, we're getting it. Hand sanitizer.
Well, it's good that we've got the primary as a kind of dry run for what's going to be a huge turnout for them.
I just got the absentee ballots today.
What day is it?
September 8th, the
and
day after Labor Day.
And then November 3rd?
Labor Day is the 7th?
What are you
it
laughing
is late
at?
In this year,
yeah. What are you laughing? Excuse me, I didn't
understand. Well, when you mentioned protective equipment, Homeland Security sent all the hospitals the gowns.
Yeah.
With no sleeves.
Yeah, no openings.
There were no sleeves in the gowns.
No openings in the sleeves.
That's okay. Huh?
11-3.
The second
Tuesday.
Yep.
Tuesday.
No, the 8th, isn't it?
No, she's talking about the
election day.
So 9-7 or 9-8 for the primary, but 11-3.
It's the second Tuesday.
First Tuesday.
This says election day is the 3rd.
It's the 3rd.
The first Tuesday in November.
Take a day off.
We have everything here.
For some people, it might be.
While we're on that, Tom, Jim and I were talking, and if you want to stay away that day, yeah, Jim and I will take the whole day. We only need two selectmen, I think, at the very end to sign.
You can appoint someone.
To sign the boxes.
Yeah, we'll be like.
Yeah,
but
if we need somebody,
to be near that many people.
Yeah, if we need somebody, we'll appoint them. But we'd rather see you stay home and stay safe.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, if I get that virus, I'll probably be dead in a week.
Yeah, well, we don't want you to get either one, the virus, or even if you live through it, it's a horrible experience. Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on.
Did you have any customers on your new Wednesday night hours?
Yeah, we had a couple. Good, though. if we didn't mail out August.
Have you heard any feedback about that?
It's, I mean, it's actually bringing it with them to the window. It's like...
You can just show up and do that. You don't need
to... Yeah, it's really... I just don't think it's worth the money or the time to do it. It's costing them to bring them up.
What about the dog?
The dog. Oh, well, the police department's done a fine job on most people, I think.
Okay.
$4 is pretty cheap compared to court.
Moving on.
$4 is pretty cheap.
$25 is really.
I know, but you're just paying $4 up front and be done with it.
Well, some are $6.50, some are
$9.
Yeah. Some are $2. Maybe $6. Yeah. So. No, the police department's been good about that. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Moving on.
Yeah.
Selectman's reports. We had a, last Thursday, we had a planning board meeting. We had a site plan review for a 12 kilowatt solar system up on Upper Smith Road that got approved. The solar garden asked for another, surprise, asked for another, and we discussed, you know, that this is getting old, and we asked Steve to contact the solar garden and ask them to please have things ready for the October 19th meeting so that we can get on with this, because I know this has been going on. They've gone through one pilot agreement, which was set up for 2 years, and they're halfway through the second pilot agreement, which was done for 3 years. So they've got a year and a half before their pilot, this current pilot agreement, runs out, and then they have to come back to the select board for another pilot agreement. And they've shown us absolutely nothing as far as getting the materials we wanted, getting the money into the escrow account that we asked them to put in there. So we've put them on notice that we would like them to
put
get
up
things
or shut
done.
Up. Yeah.
So, and my first rec commission meeting will be next Tuesday. So we're going to meet in person at the garage.
Cool.
That's all I've got for.
So we talked about, you know, a couple of things with Johnny. Building construction committees met last week. We'll meet again next week. We're pushing. The charter was to have its recommendations back to the board by the end of September. We're trying to get them in August, and then talk about what we think the right next steps will be. And so we've had really good luck, really good support from BPS. We think we've pretty much narrowed it down to two options that make the most sense for everybody. So we're trying to see if we can get those done in a little more detail, more like we had for the last project, with plans and details people can look at. BPS is trying to see if they can find somebody who will do that for free, because all of the support they've given us, more than seven different designs that they've helped us at least notionally lay out, they've done all that work for free. If they can't find somebody to do the details, then we'll come and talk to the board about maybe paying out of the building improvement fund, which has got that as part of its mission to get those things done. But it's some really good work. The committee is a really good bunch of people that are putting a lot of effort into it, so I appreciate all the hard work that they're doing. So on the budget side, Trish mentioned we're getting the end of the year numbers. I'm working with Ray Massey, who's helping me try to, you know, we're eventually we want to get to where we can do all of our budget inputs, outputs, everything through the BMSI software.
Yeah.
We're not there yet, so we'll go into this season where we kind of left off last year, but we're working on some new budget input templates for all the departments. They'll all look the same. They'll have on one in one place, you'll see the prior year numbers, what this year's budget was, what they're asking for next year, what that line supports, and then their justification for the budget request. So it'll all be, you don't have to flip back and forth. You'll have all the comparison numbers there so you can see it. They do all the salary calculations automatically. All you have to say is what that employee's grade and step are going to be in 2022. It'll calculate the salary. It'll calculate FICA and Medicare. If they're on retirement system, it'll do all of that. So from a entry standpoint, I think it'll actually be easier for the department heads.
Well, that's a lot.
It's easy. It's almost done. Ray and I sort of had
so
a call.
So built formulas in it, so like it'll populate. It's like, you know, all of my.
So they'll so for executive admin.
Yeah.
There's a tab. Everyone will have a tab for personnel.
Yeah.
And so you have town administrator, Trish Stafford, current pay grade in 2022, how many hours per week. How many weeks for the year, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody's going to bring somebody on halfway through the year, it's only 26 weeks. And then it'll automatically pull all the information. Then you say, are they in the retirement system, yes or no? And if they are, what group, one, two fire, two police?
And then it's going to take all of that, let's say.
And put it right back into the.
To the financial administration NHRS line.
Yep. Well, so one of the things, we'll talk about where the retirement part goes, but you know, everybody's got salaries, FICA, Medicare,
yeah.
All of that's going to populate automatically. So there were no mistakes in doing the salary like we had last year.
Well, then, yeah, and then it's like the retirement system changes there.
You just change the formula so that it calculates it instead of, you know, 1.11, it's
right.
Whatever.
Cool.
So the intent is to get that out here in the next couple of weeks so that the department heads can see it, start getting used to it. You know, there'll be some questions, maybe some comments. And then, you know, we are, based on the timeline we had talked about last time, we're looking at the joint meeting with the budget committee on August 12th, which is an off Wednesday for us. So we can talk about things like COLA and merit raises, any, you know, if anybody has any items in particular in the budget that they really want somebody to go into some detail on this year, let's lay it out now so they can come prepared to talk about whether it's road projects or, you know, last year we spent a lot of time on health insurance and those sorts of things. So I think all of that's moving along. And we'll get that, we'll be in a good position with that to really have a good amount of time to do the reviews and not feel like we're rushed at the end of the year. So.
Mm-hmm.
I've also had complaints / requests that since this looks like it's something we're going to be doing for the long term, I know as part of the phone upgrade we had talked about a real speaker phone.
We will have one, yes.
I don't know if there's a way to get that sooner than, you know, a month from now when they do the final upgrade, but
potentially, but I don't know how it would work given that it's going to be tied into a voice override IP system, so I can ask.
Yeah, but this is very hard for people to hear, you know, anybody on the ends of the table or anybody that's back in the
seating. I know, Sue has had a hard time as well being able to hear everything.
Yeah, so. And since this doesn't look like it's going to go away anytime soon.
Sorry, Sue.
Sue, you there?
I'm awake.
So, you know, see what they say. And
it's got a better microphone system in it.
What's that?
That's got a better microphone system in it.
Yeah, it gets everybody, yep.
Yeah.
all right, that was it.
Tom?
No, I'm all set. I think the only thing we ought to look at some point is the volunteer policy that we make people sign. Because all it does is it just references New Hampshire statute.
Yeah. I think we've started to look into those policies because they're not consistent.
Well, there's definitely some variation and some things we need to update, but I think, yeah, the only reason to have somebody sign that is so they, if something were, imagine a committee that violated 91A, and somebody says, well, I didn't know I had to follow 91A, you know, you've given them the references and said, you know, you're required to follow these policies and procedures. And they acknowledge that I'm required, you know, that I understand that's my responsibility. You know, do you have to get somebody to sign that? But you have to at least inform them.
Well, I would say at least give them a copy of it.
Yeah.
I think that's why that these boards and committees have you guys to help also guide them with that.
Yeah, yeah. But that's really, it's more about an acknowledgement that, you know, I'm taking on a responsibility and I've got to abide by, you know, both the ethic policies that are in there as well as any of the RSAs. But,
all right,
you know,
that's fine.
That's a good one to take a look at. You know, we've talked about it a couple times. And
yeah, and we're,
I know you're
still at the personnel policy manual and just cleaning it up a little bit, giving it a little polish. And again, making it consistent. And the welfare guidelines can be updated a little bit because
yeah.
I don't think it's been updated for a bit, and it's probably worth taking a look at just to make sure that we're, again, up to snuff. So I can talk to Melanie about that too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, now that we're in the League of Local Welfare Administrators, I know they've got some sample policies, so we can take that, their guidelines and their policy, and compare it to what we've got, and then...
Well, you went to a seminar that they had.
At the NHMA conference last year. That was a really good session.
And I have the download, The Art of Welfare, because I think there was something that happened. I was supposed to take that webinar, and then I got pulled away for some odd reason or whatever, but I have their NHMA's guidance on that, too.
Okay. Moving on, we move on to select board, select board signatures.
Alrighty. So I have some assessing things for you guys. New current use application. This one just needs a re-signature. The registry returned it because it was not the original. So she just needs you to sign this again, and she's outlined where that was. And this, she said, she needs you guys to sign. It's the annual request for taxpayer inventory form PA28. She said it's an annual request from the state of New Hampshire, from the DRA, for the 2021 taxpayer inventory form. The town has not used these forms in many years, so this is just saying that we will not be using the form PA28 in 2021. And she needs you guys to sign it.
Talk about bureaucracy, Tom.
Right.
We're going to sign a form to say that we're not going to use a form.
That's the state. I do have some older minutes that were approved that I need Tom to sign, so I'll just... we're
already approved them at the last meeting.
You need to sign them?
Yep.
This form. This is silly.
Yeah, I don't know what that form.
They ought to have a form to notify them if we are going to use it. You know, change. So. How's the continued transition to healthcare going?
I think it's been okay. There's been
some trust, I should say.
Confusion on the part of people with their transitioning their medications over, just because people's individual needs. So it's hard to sort of encompass all of those things all at once, but other than that, I think it's been okay. I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
Other than the initial, people weren't, the initial, like, cards didn't have PCP names on them and stuff.
Do we have any correspondence or anything to sign?
Nope.
That's it?
Well, you have to approve the next minute from last week.
Make a motion that we approve the Samberton Board of Selectmen minutes for July 8th, 2020, with any corrections.
I'll second.
Did you send in your corrections?
I did.
Yeah. Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Minutes are approved.
Thank you.
Good job, Sus.
Thank you.
I did unmute.
Next Wednesday, unless the weather is bad, we're planning to be camping, so I won't be available to sign payroll. I'll be back in. We'll be back probably Thursday afternoon, but I can't come in.
I'm not sure I'll come in.
Okay.
I'm not sure I'll come in.
Okay.
So we can handle that.
Yeah. With our luck, it's going to rain all week.
Okay. We are down to our final motion.
For the majority, I make a motion that we adjourn until August.
August 5th
at 5 o'clock or at the call of the chair.
I'll second.
Non-debatable motion. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. We are in adjournment at 7:25.
What a difference my new hearing is.
Night, everybody.
Night.
Good night.